Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 5, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about the Terra stablecoin is partnering with a South Korean fashion market. Litecoin just halved its crypto rewards for miners. Thailand to bring cryptocurrency under anti-money laundering rules. MasterCard is building a team to develop crypto wallet projects. Lenovo, Glaxo, Nokia, big names join new IBM blockchain. Bitcoin soars towards $12,000 as yuan hits decade low. Bitcoin eyes $12,000 price hurdle as dominance rate hits 28-month high. Tezos co-creator commits to donating millions in future XTZ proceeds. Cryptocurrency in China, over the counter, under the table. Now let's get started. The Terra stablecoin is partnering with a South Korean fashion market. Singapore Incorporated, South Korea-focused stablecoin creator Terra has signed a major Korean B2B platform to its alliance of internet marketplaces. According to a report on EconOneNews, a local financial website, Terra has agreed to work with Sinsing Market, a company that links vendors at Seoul's Dongdaemun Fashion Market with customers in Korea and elsewhere in the world. The two will develop a payment system to offer end-to-end capabilities for wholesale transactions, including payments, settlement and delivery. It will utilize Chai, a South Korean mobile payments platform powered by Terra's blockchain technology. Dongdaemun Fashion Market is one of the largest fashion wholesale markets globally, with an estimated $12 billion of turnover, but at present it remains fragmented and relatively poorly developed in terms of logistics and payment services. The hope is to connect the many small enterprises operating there more efficiently with their target markets. According to other local press reports, Sinsing Market works with 18,000 wholesalers carrying 28 million products. One of Terra's core strategies is to build an alliance of e-commerce sites and operate as a payment platform for them. The Terra coin may also be offered as an incentive for those making purchases on these sites. Terra has approximately 25 such relationships already. The list of partners includes South Korea's TMON, also known as Ticketmonster, The Galleria, a Gangnam K fashion mall, Qoo10, a Singapore-based online marketplace which claims to be the largest of its kind in the world, and Carousel, a Singapore-based online retailer. Terra, which is incorporated in Singapore as Terraform Labs, was founded in 2018 by Daniel Shin, who also founded TMON, and has broad connections with South Korea's Kakao and investment from Seattle-based Arrington XRP Capital. Litecoin just halved its crypto rewards for miners. Litecoin, LTC, currently the fourth largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, has just reduced its block reward for miners by half. The Litecoin blockchain reached the trigger block height of 1,680,000 at 10:16 Coordinated Universal Time on Monday, according to the Litecoin Explorer from mining pool operator BTC.com. The event marks a major threshold for miners, as the Litecoin network is designed to reduce its mining rewards by half every 840,000 blocks, roughly every 4 years. For this halving, the mining reward for every block has been reduced from the previous 25 LTC to 12.5 LTC. Given the block production time on the Litecoin network is around one block every 2.5 minutes, roughly 576 blocks are produced in every 24 hours with a new supply of 7,200 LTC entering into the market, half the previous daily level of around 14,400 LTC. As of press time, about 63 million out of the total issuance of 84 million LTC are effectively in circulation, leaving about 21 million LTC block mining rewards worth $2 billion at today's prices available for miners to compete for in the future. Since early this year, LTC's price has seen a significant uptick from around $30 in January to as much as $120 in June, but has since then decreased to around $100. In line with the price increase ahead of the anticipated halving event, hash rate computing on the Litecoin network and the mining difficulty have both jumped by 200% since end of December 2019. The halving will likely have an effect on the interest in mining participation, as several widely used Litecoin mining devices will now have a tough time generating enough LTC to offset electricity costs. According to a miner profit index from F2 Pool, one of the world's largest mining pools by hash rate, the three most profitable LTC miners made by InnoSilicon and FusionSilicon X6 had a profit margin of between 55 and 60% before August 5. Other older models such as Bitmain's Antminer L3, however, already had a profitability that was less than 50% based on an electricity cost of 4 cents per kilowatt hour and LTC's price before the halving. Holding everything else constant, reducing the mining revenue by half could lead to a net loss for miners with such older models, as Shixing Mao, co-founder of F2 Pool, said in a Weibo post. With an electricity cost of 26 fen $0.037 per kilowatt hour, miners like L3 Plus can pretty much just shut down tonight. Thailand to bring cryptocurrency under anti-money laundering rules. Thailand's anti-money laundering regulator is planning to amend the country's laws to include cryptocurrency. Speaking to the Bangkok Post, Police Major General Prichacharonsahayanan, Secretary General of the Anti-Money Laundering Office, AMLO, said he believes that, while currently not an issue, cryptocurrency will be a tool of new money laundering. Precha said that AMLO currently does not receive complaints around money laundering involving cryptocurrencies, but warned, "We may not find any clue, but that doesn't mean the wrongdoing does not occur." The Secretary General argued that criminals will increasingly turn to digital assets to conceal their ill-gotten proceeds. To prepare for this shift, he told the Bangkok Post he plans to alter the country's laws to bring cryptos into the AML regime, starting with the Anti-Money Laundering Act. Precha indicated would add a rule requiring cryptocurrency exchange platforms to report activities to the AMLO, adding that such information is crucial to track laundered money over the internet. The legal changes would correspond with international standards on crypto exchange service providers, he said. Thailand is a member nation of the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, an international money laundering watchdog which recently issued recommendations that cryptocurrency platforms monitor and report suspicious transactions. It also included a controversial requirement that virtual asset service providers, VASPs, including crypto exchanges, pass information about their customers to one another when transferring funds between firms. FATF further proposed that member countries should consider mandating that exchange providers to register with relevant authorities. MasterCard is building a team to develop crypto wallet projects. Payments giant MasterCard is seeking to hire a number of blockchain professionals, including several senior roles, in an apparent effort to develop cryptocurrency and wallet products. According to the company's career website, MasterCard is looking for a senior blockchain engineer and engineering-led, director for product development and innovation, vice president for product management and director of product management for cryptocurrency and wallets. Other senior roles MasterCard is looking to fill also mention expertise in the blockchain tech, for example, Vice President of Network Tech Product Management, Director of Payments Platform and Networks, Senior Analyst for Strategic Program Management and others. The Director of Product Management for Cryptocurrency and Wallets, according to the description, will be expected to lead the ideation, definition, design, and development of innovative cryptocurrency solutions, including wallet solutions, and have an experience in this field. Along with the Director for Product Development and Innovation, Vice President for Product Management, the Wallet Director is in charge of MasterCard's patent portfolio and filing new patent applications. Other than that, there are few specifics about the new role, but the job description speaks of the crypto industry quite favorably, asking a potential candidate, "Do you have the courage to look into the eyes of disruptive forces without fear, and maneuver them to your advantage? Do you have the desire to work at the cutting-edge intersection of payments and cryptocurrencies? Do you have the ambition to build something which you can narrate to your grandchildren?" If the answer is yes, MasterCard is the right place for such a candidate, the description suggests. The new leadership team is further supposed to advocate blockchain concepts within MasterCard itself. According to the description of the directors and VP positions, they will need to establish shared vision across the company by influencing and building consensus among the various stakeholders. MasterCard is a member of the Libra Association, a loose cross-industry consortium tentatively supporting the launch of Facebook's upcoming cryptocurrency, Libra. Facebook itself is now actively recruiting personnel for its native wallet, Calibra, but has pledged to allow free competition of wallets inside of the Libra ecosystem during the House and Senate hearings in July. Lenovo, Glaxo, Nokia, big names join new IBM blockchain. IBM has launched a new blockchain project called Trust Your Supplier, TYS, with big-name firms Anheuser-Busch InBev, GlaxoSmithKline, Lenovo, Nokia, Schneider Electric and Vodafone already on board. Announced Monday, TYS joins IBM's successful stable of track and trace supply chain and logistics blockchain consortia, which include Food Trust and Tradelens. TYS is focused on supplier onboarding, an umbrella term relating to a wide and varied assortment of supplier information like ISO certifications, bank account data, tax certifications, certificates of insurance and other supplier data required for exchanging purchase orders and invoices. Marie Week, general manager at IBM Blockchain, told CoinDesk that onboarding cycle is typically very manual in many companies, even those with very efficient supply chains, just in terms of the vetting and validation of those suppliers. Getting a new supplier onboarded quickly, particularly when there are new capabilities coming up every day, is critical to how rapidly you introduce new products and services. René Ure, Chief Supply Chain Officer for Lenovo's Data Center Group, echoed this in a statement, saying, "Through Trust Your Supplier, both buyers and suppliers will see the procurement benefits of blockchain through reductions in cost, complexity and speed." Stepping back, enterprise blockchain projects have a reputation for moving forward at a glacial pace, plodding from proof of concept to pilot and finally, if you're lucky, to live production. However, in this case, IBM has emerged with a fully formed live production blockchain. Big Blue started work on the project internally with its own procurement division and is using the blockchain to manage 4,000 of its own 18,500 suppliers. IBM said it expects to see a 7,080% reduction in the cycle time to onboard new suppliers, with a potential 50% reduction in administrative costs within its own business. TYS is currently limited to the existing participants, with plans for commercial availability in Q3 of this year. Week said that, for now, its footprint is confined to North America, but the intention is for a global network. Network of networks, a key innovation at the heart of TYS, is a digital passport for supplier identity. One of IBM's early blockchain partners, Chainyard, which also builds on Hyperledger Fabric, helped design this aspect of the project. Third-party validators such as Dun & Bradstreet, Ecovadis and RapidRatings provide outside verification or audit capabilities for suppliers via the passport. Week said the digital passport is specifically tailored to TYS, but like most things IBM does, it has been created with pluggable open interfaces in mind. As such, some facets of TYS could also be applicable to Tradelens, IBM's shipping cargo blockchain ecosystem launched with Maersk back in 2018. Week said there are a number of document sharing use cases that could be extended with the TYS supplier network. She said Tradelens, for example, is working on optimizing invoice settlement, factoring and invoice dispute resolution. Week explained, "We have been talking about the notion of interoperability between blockchain networks, the idea of a network of networks which can expand these economies." Bitcoin soars towards $12,000 as yuan hits decade low. Bitcoin rose above the $11,800 level on Monday as People's Bank of China, PBOC, pushed the Chinese yuan to its decade low. At around 0740 UTC, the BTC USD instrument established a local high of $11,860, up 6.67% in the past 24 hours. The move upward brought the pair's 7-day gains to 23.93%. The price rally stalled ahead of the European market open, with price correcting by as much as 1.35%. The move for Bitcoin has also been supported by $7.69 billion worth of reported volume in the past 24 hours. At the same time, the real 10-24-hour volume notes $1.71 billion worth of trading activities. Yuan declines. The gains in the Bitcoin market coincide with the decision of U.S. President Donald Trump to impose 10% tariffs on $300 billion worth of Chinese imports. The macroeconomic event led the PBOC today to set its daily referential rate for yuan below $7, its worst in a decade. The Chinese central bank said in a statement that it would keep the currency reasonable and balanced, adding that their move is an act of trade protectionism against Trump's economic warfare. The latest drop in yuan, says PBOC, is merely a reflection of fluctuating demand and supply. Markets across the globe, meanwhile, are taking a beat. Japan's Nikkei index plunged 1.7%, and the Shanghai Composite Index fell 1.6%. At the same time, South Korea's KOSPI also dropped by 1.6%, and in Hong Kong, where a sociopolitical turmoil is unfolding, the Hang Seng Index crashed by as much as 3.1%, its worst since October last year. The U.S. stock futures are also underperforming as China retaliates with a yuan rate cut. S&P 500 index futures contracts expiring in September fell up to 1.3%. Dow Jones contracts also shed 1.2% off their capitalization, while those on NASDAQ 100 slid as much as 1.7%. Chris Weston, the head of research at Pepperstone Group, wrote in a research note that yuan depreciation could trigger capital flight from China, adding, "Fears of yuan depreciation and a currency war have ramped up again. This will likely compound worries across financial markets." Bitcoin turns safe haven. Investors looking for a refuge from the adverse sentiments in the global market are visibly bringing more capital to the Bitcoin market. Scott Melker of Texas West Capital believes Chinese are once again driving the cryptocurrency prices up while avoiding to become collateral damage of the U.S.-China trade war. If you are looking for narrative on the recent dollar BTC move, look at what just happened to the Chinese yuan absolutely getting crushed. Perhaps the Chinese are scooping up some Bitcoin as a store of value. It's a fun thought. The price of Bitcoin has surged 17.54% since Trump's tariff warning. Bitcoin eyes $12,000 price hurdle as dominance rate hits 28-month high. View Bitcoin looks set to test falling channel resistance at $12,030, having invalidated a bearish lower highs pattern earlier today. The rise in Bitcoin's dominance rate to the highest level in over 2 years indicates the price rise is sustainable. A UTC close above $12,030 would confirm the falling channel breakout and allow a rally to $13,880, June 26 high. The bull case would weaken if BTC closes today, UTC, below $11,120, although that looks unlikely. Bitcoin, BTC, is eyeing a move to key resistance above $12,000, having broken out of a bearish pattern in the Asian trading hours today. The leading cryptocurrency jumped above $11,120 at 045 Coordinated Universal Time, violating the bearish lower highs pattern created on July 20 and extended gains to $11,868 at 730 Coordinated Universal Time. That's BTC's highest level since July 12, according to Bitstamp data. With the price rise, BTC's dominance rate, the cryptocurrency's share of the total crypto market, has jumped to 67.9%, the highest level since April 12, 2017, according to CoinMarketCap. Many observers consider price gains sustainable if they are backed by an uptick in the dominance rate. For instance, Vinnie Lingham, co-founder and CEO of identity protection and management startup Civic, put out a series of tweets on April 10, explaining how alternative cryptocurrencies decoupling from the BTC rally would be a sign of substance in the bull run. With the dominance rate validating BTC's 9.5% price rise in the last 24 hours, further gains toward resistance at $12,030 look likely. Technical indicators are also signaling a continuation of the price rise. As of writing, BTC is changing hands at $11,710 on Bitstamp. BTC's move above the bearish lower high of $11,120 above left is backed by a bullish above 50 reading on the Relative Strength Index, RSI. Further, the moving average convergence divergence (MACD) histogram continues to gain altitude, another sign of strengthening bullish momentum. What's more, BTC has found acceptance above the 50-day moving average (MA). Also, the 5- and 10-day MAs are trending north, indicating a bullish setup. As a result, a rise to the upper edge of the 1.5-month long falling channel, currently at $12,030, looks likely. Supporting the bullish case is a pickup in the buying volumes, green bars, as seen on the hourly chart, above right. A high volume UTC close above $12,030 would confirm the channel breakout and open the doors to a retest of $13,880, June 26th high. The bullish case would weaken if BTC prints a UTC close below $11,120 today, leaving a daily candle with a long upper wick in its wake, a sign of buyer exhaustion. That, however, looks unlikely, unless China's yuan recovers lost ground. It is worth noting that China's offshore yuan exchange rate (CNH) fell from 6 yuan and 97 fen per US dollar to a multi-year low of 7.1085 per USD in the 60 minutes to 2 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time today. Meanwhile, BTC picked up a bit around $10,980 at 0:00 Coordinated Universal Time an hour before CNH began falling against the dollar, as seen in the chart below. The price action seems to have convinced the crypto market community that yuan's drop below the major psychological level of 7 per USD fueled a rally in BTC's price, that is, wealthy Chinese investors rotated money into BTC amid the yuan's depreciation. Some observers, including prominent analyst Alex Kruger, wondered earlier today whether BTC had front-run the People's Bank of China's central bank decision to allow the yuan to slide beyond 7 per USD. If that narrative continues to strengthen, then BTC may become vulnerable to a bounce in yuan, if any. However, as of now, the yuan is showing little sign of life, currently trading at 7.08 per USD. Tezos co-creator commits to donating millions in future XTZ proceeds. The takeaway: when the $232 million Tezos token sale took place, a Tezos foundation was created to launch the protocol. It also committed to purchase the company that created it, Distributed Ledger Systems, founded by Arthur and Kathleen Brightman. Now, Kathleen Brightman has signed a binding commitment with founders' pledge to give 15% of her portion of the proceeds of that sale to charity, CoinDesk has confirmed. It will be at least 4 years until Brightman has access to the full proceeds, so the ultimate value of her commitment ultimately depends on the performance of XTZ and cryptocurrencies contributed in the sale. Estimating a present value for the commitment is complicated by ongoing legal disputes around the Tezos ICO, but if the sale had been consummated already, the value of Arthur and Kathleen Brightman's XTZ together would be $97 million. The first thing Kathleen Brightman wants you to know is that she doesn't hold any XTZ yet. But when she does, she's giving away 15% or her share to charity. Brightman, one of the co-founders of the Tezos blockchain alongside her husband, Arthur Brightman, has signed a binding commitment with founders pledged to donate a portion of her initial coin offering (ICO) proceeds. Tezos raised $232 million in mid-2017 in what was the largest ICO at the time. Brightman says she's in no rush to cash out. Her eventual gifts should amount to millions of dollars, though, that depends on how Tezos and crypto perform in the next few years. "I haven't exercised the put option for Tezos yet, but I have signed the pledge," Brightman told CoinDesk. "I think a lot more founders in the space should consider doing this." How lucrative the pledge may end up being is still to be determined, however. Per the terms of the Tezos fundraising documents, the Tezos Foundation has committed to acquire the company that Brightman owns in part, Dynamic Ledger Solutions, DLS, though it will not pay the full price till a full 4 years have passed and the Tezos blockchain has met certain performance criteria. If the acquisition had simply happened on the day the sale closed, the Brightmans would have earned approximately $17.7 million from the proceeds alone, plus roughly 68 million XTZ, which would be worth approximately $97 million at today's prices. The Breitmans own 90% of DLS, Kathleen told CoinDesk. It is not known whether the contract calls for them to be paid in a percentage of the Bitcoin and Ether from the sale or in the spot value of those assets in dollars. Regardless, Breitman has committed to giving 15% of her earnings from that sale. I also liked the idea of credible commitments, because that's part of why blockchains are powerful, she said. Breitman's causes. Founders Pledge aims to get as many entrepreneurs as possible to commit a part of their potential exit winnings to charitable purposes. Late last year, forecasters projected that 2019 alone could see $200 billion in initial public offerings. We're thrilled about Kathleen making this meaningful commitment to do good and joining the Founders Pledge community, Founders Pledge President Matt Hunter told CoinDesk. We're currently working on some big things for crypto investors and entrepreneurs which we can't talk about just yet, but we're very excited. Breitman tells CoinDesk she has appreciated joining the community of founders who have also taken the pledge. She likes the way fellow founders think about engaging with social change. Obviously, you start a company because you want to solve a problem, Breitman explained. That attitude carrying over to a charitable environment makes for really compelling conversations. She's still thinking about where she might put her commitment. I don't have to decide until I actually do it, Breitman said. She says she volunteered at Youth Services nonprofit Covenant House in college and she still values their work. I also think there's a lot of interesting progress going on in different disease categories, she added. More crypto donors. CoinDesk has also confirmed that Joey Krug, one of the key creators of Augur, now at Pantera Capital, has also signed the Founders Pledge. Krug's commitment is a little more open-ended. He plans to give 5% of his next exit on whatever the next company he founds ends up being. It's not clear what that will be or when, however. It's kind of just a no-brainer, Krug told CoinDesk. As a member of the team at Pantera, he's also helped Founders Pledge get introduced to the new startup leaders he's backed. Kathleen noted that there's been talk of social good efforts in crypto, but it still tends to be a bit inwardly focused. I think a lot of the cryptocurrency stuff is more centered around making cryptocurrencies an action of charity, Breitman said. I think for efficacy, my personal philosophy would be like, hey, to whom much is given, it's better to do something more helpful in the short term. Breitman said that she wants to target things where money can be spent more immediately and less moonshot why stuff, since that is how I would define my day job. Krug is following a fairly similar approach. He expects he'll give about half of his eventual exit to known nonprofits with a good track record of preventing death, disease or disability, such as the Malaria Foundation. He'll probably also give half to some kind of neglected basic research. For example, Krug noted that every time the energy density of batteries leaps forward, it has broad ramifications for social good, but not a lot of people invest in fundamental battery research. That kind of stuff I think is interesting to me, things that people are overlooking, Krug said. Krug is currently the co-chief investment officer at Pantera Capital. Since finishing her efforts to help the Tezos Foundation launch the blockchain, Breitman has been at work on a gaming company that will use Tezos infrastructure. Coinbase co-founder Brian Armstrong has also signed the Giving Pledge, a similar commitment but for billionaires such as Warren Buffett, Mackenzie Bezos and Pierre Omidyar. Cryptocurrency in China, over the counter, under the table. Devei Wan is a partner at Primitive Ventures, a crypto asset investment fund, and a member of CoinDesk's advisory board. This essay is presented as a part of No Closing Bell, a series leading up to Invest, Asia 2019 focused on how the Asian crypto markets are interacting with and impacting global investors. To keep the conversation going in person, register for Invest, Asia 2019 coming up in Singapore on September 11th-12. There remains a great deal of confusion surrounding the legal status of cryptocurrency in China. Between headlines like China bans Bitcoin, China bans crypto exchanges, and China bans Bitcoin mining, it's no surprise that most people are unclear on where China stands on cryptocurrency and whether that has any real bearing on how its citizens behave. We hope to demystify this and offer some insight into the legal status of cryptocurrency and related matters. In law. In China, Bitcoin is legally recognized and protected as virtual property. This has been the law since 2013 and the classification was reconfirmed in the recent Hangzhou court ruling. However, this does not recognize Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies as legal currency. Hence, any use of Bitcoin as a currency is illegal. Occasional peer-to-peer OTC transactions are acceptable, as long as the behavior remains on a small scale. All mainland financial institutions are barred from any involvement in virtual currencies and foreign entities are also prohibited from serving mainland customers. China has been progressively restricting more aspects of cryptocurrency within its borders dating back to September 2017, when it began by banning ICOs because of the financial risk and frequent fraud. Since then, China has not hesitated to prosecute seriously offending ICOs or crypto scams, which were clearly scamming their customers, such as HeroChain, EOSPLUS, Tron.Wallet, PlusToken, MGC, and DOGX. Some of them raised a ton of money from retail and exit scammed, some disguised as wallets or high-yield quant fund. The largest among them is PlusToken, which has scammed over a whopping $3 billion in total. Core team members of PlusToken were arrested earlier this year in Vanuatu with the help of local police and are now facing decades in jail. The ICO rules also restricted the activity of cryptocurrency exchanges domiciled in mainland China, as they are considered to be facilitating illegal fundraising and financial crimes. To preserve their businesses after the ban, these exchanges restructured and moved overseas to countries such as Japan, Singapore, and registered in countries like the Seychelles and Malta. However, some exchanges, including Huobi and OKEX, continue to conspicuously serve Chinese customers in crypto-to-crypto trading, and facilitate yuan to BTC, USDT exchange disguised behind a peer-to-peer OTC front. The regulatory requirements on Bitcoin mining are relatively fuzzy. The ban was not issued by a legal or regulatory department, but rather came from an industry structure reform recommendation from a state planning agency, which usually serves as a guideline instead of actual regulation. Hence, we haven't seen any material impact on local mining facilities due to this ban. While many Chinese miners are currently looking for foreign sites, that is primarily due to fierce local competition rather than regulatory concerns. In practice, the actual handling of cryptocurrency in mainland China in practice doesn't reflect the letter of the law, however. It's no secret that Chinese citizens remain deeply involved in cryptocurrency mining, trading, and ICOs, IEOs. While official figures say that the percentage of cryptocurrency trading attributable to the yuan has dropped from 90% to 1% in the wake of the 2017 regulation, this does not account for over-the-counter trading, which is where most fiat-to-crypto volume in China has shifted to since the regulation. OTC options are offered by exchanges like Huobi as well as by locally managed WeChat groups. These OTC desks take the form of a marketplace where buy and sell orders are offered manually and transactions are done in a peer-to-peer manner. The platform here merely acts as a place for buyers and sellers to discover each other, rather than facilitating trades itself as exchanges do. Payment can be handled between two parties once they have agreed on a trade through WeChat, Alipay, or banking wire, though China is attempting to crack down on that as well by blocking mobile payment platforms from processing crypto-related payments. The biggest risk of peer-to-peer OTC trading is counterparty risk. If you want to buy Bitcoin from someone you have to 1. Agree on the price with that party, 2. Send RMB first, 3. Receive Bitcoin once the other party has received the payment. For this reason, most of the OTC WeChat groups have very strict rules for dealing with new members and only deal with those who have been in the group for long enough to have a good track record. To give you a sense of the volume that these desks handle, Huobi OTC has surpassed $100 million USD in volume and WeChat OTC groups such as this one report processing a daily volume of $300,000 a day on average. There are thousands of similar WeChat OTC groups operating at a small scale, but together add up to a significant amount of crypto trading volume originating from China that is not accounted for by official figures. If one has the desire, buying cryptocurrency in China is by no means difficult. There are plenty of tutorials such as this one outlining various simple ways to purchase cryptocurrencies with RMB. Local liquidity for Bitcoin and USDT are excellent, despite what the regulators' official statements might suggest. Once traders have gotten their hands on Bitcoin or USDT, they can then freely exchange that for other cryptocurrencies on exchanges, even ones that try to block Chinese customers, by using the credentials of people from other countries. KYC materials can be obtained for a mere $75 online and allow Chinese citizens access to exchanges as well as IEOs and ICOs. Crypto-to-crypto volume on exchanges like Huobi, OKEX, and Gate.io are still very dominated by Chinese retail, and OKEX derivatives trading is also dominated by Chinese whales and traders. As a result of the ban, different trading behaviors and selections of assets have emerged on these Chinese-dominated exchanges compared to those on U.S. exchanges like Bittrex, Bitstamp and Kraken. After the ban, China took to using Tether, $USDT, as a substitute to Yuan in trading pairs. Tether has since developed into a USD replacement in even some non-crypto cross-border business cases. This is one possible explanation for why Tether has been so resilient to negative press such as the Tether Bitfinex $850 million cover-up, and over 60% of newly issued Tether is traded in Chinese background exchanges. It is supported by the crucial role it plays in the huge amount of crypto trading that depends on it in China. Because of the central role it plays, people in China don't care whether it's fully backed by reserve, as long as they remain able to exchange USDT for yuan with local counterparties. China's legal actions against cryptocurrency certainly had a huge impact on crypto activity within its borders. It changed the landscape of crypto trading in China and caused many crypto companies to move overseas. But the resilience and perseverance of Chinese crypto entrepreneurs are remarkable, which clearly manifests what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Cryptocurrency is still alive and well in China. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.